Polish Raiders because I come from New York.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, good afternoon,
hey,
Barry,
man.
Hey, Rob, how are you?
Hey,
Rob.
Ryan's going to join us in a minute. He's finishing up a call now, and Tim's in my office as well.
And I'm on the phone, Mark.
And Barry's on the phone from the car.
Excellent. All right. So what's on your mind? How was the time since our last call? About a week, yeah.
Yeah, it's a couple of weeks since our last call.
2 weeks, yeah.
I've eaten three bags of Doritos.
Ryan.
Hi.
That's not on your diet.
Yeah, I know. The diet restarted today since I couldn't get into the pair of pants I wanted to wear to work. So we're getting back on that. It's only like 7 pounds, which isn't a lot for someone my size, but you know, it's a waste.
All right, what else?
Got another $400,000 today from a very difficult to please client. So that's good news. We get getting lots of additional money from existing clients. Barry drew up some notes for us to market ourselves to other offices as well.
Do you want me to speak?
Yeah, go ahead, Barry.
So I put together, Tim and I actually put together a whole bunch of notes on how to approach other advisors with the divorce financial planning. But what the conclusion of the notes is to go into the presentation with questions to ask these guys, you know, what do you think happens, to other advisors to say, what do you think happens when a client files for divorce? Do you think you're going to end up holding on to both clients, particularly if you're a CFP, which makes you a fiduciary? How do you represent both clients equally and fairly? So I'm presuming from my own experience that most of these guys don't realize that when somebody's going through a divorce, the person that supports them emotionally the most is the one who's gonna have the best relationship at the end of the day. So I think that's the avenue that we're going with the CDFA to approach other advisors that have clients, because I truly think they in a contentious enough divorce, I don't think anybody holds on to the client.
This is the follow-up from our meeting with Carla.
Yeah.
So the question, I guess, Rob, are you there?
Yeah.
The question is, in terms of positioning ourselves to maximize our opportunity, we believe that the divorce gives us a unique value proposition. But from what we're looking for you is, what do you think is the best way to grab advisors' attention and get them a call to action or get them to schedule some time with us to discuss what's up, you know? Or do you think that we just need to be out there to call us when something happens?
You do the opposite of what you think you should do.
Ignore them and pretend like we don't care? that'll really make them want us like we do with girls, you know, like in high school. pretend you don't see the pretty girl. Talk to her friends instead.
Right. No, you go in and you educate them and you tell them everything you know about working with divorce attorneys, the law, and demonstrate to them and try and help them to be the best at this business that they can be. You think, well, that's stupid, then they can do it. Well, in reality, that's the way I thought, okay? And if I just give them a little bit of supernova, then they would really have to hire me because they'd be very, you know, I just piqued their interest. What I discovered was, it's the opposite of what you think you should do. Instead, I go in and I give them everything I know about Supernova. Okay, I can't you know, if they'll give me a couple of days, I can give them a lot. If I can give them 3 hours, I can give them a lot, but I can't cover it all. But by the time I'm done teaching them about Supernova, they know they need to hire me because they know that they can't learn everything that I know. And I've demonstrated that I have an amazing working knowledge of the subject.
Then how do we do that in a branch meeting for 5 minutes is the question.
You can't. You don't want that. You need time. You want to have a meeting where you're teaching this subject.
So is the question more like getting in front of advisors and saying, hey, you know, is there anybody here that has a client that's going through a divorce who would like to sit down with you?
No, you teach them, you teach the senior guys, and what you tell them is, look, all of you are going to go through divorce scenarios. Here, we're gonna spend 40 minutes teaching you everything we've learned about dealing with divorces and making sure you don't do something that would jeopardize your business, your license, your career. So you teach them what they need to know about dealing with divorcees and divorces. And what they're going to say is, thank you. Remember the key to getting is giving, right? So
you don't have 40 minutes, Rob. We're not going to get an audience that long. We're walking into a branch where people don't know us, and we're going to get to speak for 5 or 6 minutes to the entire office.
Where we can introduce ourselves, tell them some of the value proposition, and hopefully spend more time with these people afterwards where they can ask questions.
There you go. So you get to run a commercial for the meeting that's going to follow.
Yes.
Can we make enough of an impact in 5 minutes, Rob? That's the question.
Yeah. Sure you can. You would with me if you were going to spend 30 minutes, okay? 30 minutes. That may be more palatable. You're going to be 30 minutes teaching me everything, all the pitfalls of dealing with a divorce case, what you shouldn't do, what you can't do, what legally you've got problems doing, and so forth. I'm gonna stay for that meeting. And I remember, guys, you're not listening to some bullshit specialist. You're not listening to some wholesaler. You're listening to financial advisors. Financial advisors never share. You guys are there to share and to help them and to avoid a problem in the future. Now, if they want to hire you, great. Okay? Just like, and I would say that, look, just like 401k business, this isn't a business that you can do part-time. We do this full-time.
I like that line, Barry. Write that down.
Say that again?
I say, this is the business, just like the 401k business. You can't do it part time.
You don't dabble.
You got to do it. Yeah, you got to do it first full time, and that's what we do.
People understand that because they don't know shit about 401ks.
Yeah.
Well, and that's and I always told people, if you have 3 or 4 401ks, get the hell out of that business.
Yeah,
you
got to
have. You need to have 10 401ks or more, or it's not worth it. It's stupid.
Ryan, can you write that line down because I'm in the car? And email, just email it to me.
Yeah.
Now, you literally want to give them, in that meeting, everything that they need to know about dealing with divorce. Okay? And you know you can't do it in 30 minutes, but you can try.
Of course not.
And you want to appear as though you're trying desperately to give them everything you know in 30 minutes. And then they're going to come up to you later and say, you know, there's no way I can do this properly. Would you mind helping me?
Basically, you want to overwhelm them with what they don't know.
That's exactly right.
That's really
now
interesting.
You want to intentionally help them, though. Okay, you want, by actually helping them, you're doing them a big favor. You're doing what they don't expect. So you do the opposite of what they expect. Remember, we've always said the way you increase your business is by not getting, but by giving. It's the genius of the supernova marketing. You're constantly trying to give more and more and more, and in return, of course, you're going to get.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question for you, Rob.
Yeah.
Yesterday, I played golf at an exclusive club down here with another advisor who invited me out to play because I help him out a lot. And he had one of his clients and then another gentleman from the club who he did not work with, and he didn't really have a good relationship with him enough to where, like, he felt like he could work with him. And he told me, like, hey, you should talk to him about, you know, you prospect him or whatever. So we played golf, and all of us had a really nice, enjoyable round. And I was a guest at his club. I wasn't there selling. You know, I was there playing golf and just, you know, trying to make him look good in front of his big client. You know, his big client has Ferraris and Porsches, and, you know, tell me, oh, I just bought 500 acres in this area to develop. You know, that kind of crap. So I was trying to make him look good, but we had a really good time. So we're all eating lunch in the clubhouse afterwards, and literally out of nowhere, the other guy's like telling the fourth guy, hey, John, you know, you should really, you know, bring all your accounts over to Ryan, and Ryan will get you retired faster, you know, because John's like, oh, I want to retire in 5 years. And Gary was like, oh, well, you should hire Ryan, because Ryan will get you there in 4, you know. And it was like the most awkward, like, pregnant silence, like, I couldn't even take it. I, like, just completely changed the subject. Like, it was so bad, you know? But my question to you is, like, when you're in those types of settings, you know, like, this is a guy that, you know, he's got his own golf cart, you know, like, I mean, he's living the country club life here. You know, like, how do you suggest trying to take the next step with someone like that, where he's not someone I'm going to see on a regular basis or anything like that? Like, it's almost like you have a one shot to do something. Like, do you say, hey, really enjoyed playing golf with you, you know, like, let's play golf another time, but once again, it's his club, I can't even get in there without, you know, being invited? Or, you know, do you invite him to play somewhere else and then try to finagle a favor to get on another course that he may want to play? Like, how would you kind of position that, I guess, would be the best way to say it.
Well, here's the worst thing that you can do is not follow up.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've done that and screwed up relationships because I thought they were kind of kidding and thought it was, you know, kind of weird and didn't follow up. And then they thought it was really rude of me not to follow up. Okay?
Right.
So you need to follow up.
But this guy wasn't invited by me and didn't come to play with me. He just happened to be the fourth person in our group. You know, like, he has zero expectations of me hounding him down for business or anything like that.
How did he react, Ryan?
Yeah, how did he react? What?
He got this, I don't know, like, he clammed up immediately and, like, got weird, you know? Like, it wasn't, like, a good feeling, you know? That's why I said, like, I kind of, like, broke the silence talking about something else.
Because I could see maybe Gary's telling him how, you know, that you're smart, you're reliable, you're this, that, and the other thing.
Yeah, I mean,
right.
I could theoretically have Gary work him next time he sees him. Like, they play together pretty regularly.
Okay.
But this guy's also, he's a CFO, former CPA, you know, like, and he definitely knows what he's doing. Like, he was talking about some of the stuff. He trades on his own a lot, you know, like, he's clearly a capable person.
But that's the same thing we got with Totora and...
Yeah, I know.
And Sagan.
Right, but but the question is more in lines of, like, I didn't want to be a schmuck and, like, I'm somebody else's guest and, you know, I'm hitting his friends up for business as we're riding around the course, you know what I mean? Like, I definitely didn't want that to come off. Like, do you think I have no way to reach this guy again, like, you know.
I really enjoyed, I'd like to do this again, you know, can we stay in touch, can I get your contact information?
I would, in that, it's a little awkward, you're right.
Yeah.
So you don't belong to any club, no reciprocation. What kind of handicap do you have? What's your index?
I'm not,
17 when he played.
Yeah. I'm a low 90s player. I've had a few rounds in the low 80s, but you know, I'm one of those people where one hole I look like a rock star, and the next hole I look like a chimpanzee.
Because you don't play, right?
I don't play regularly. Yes. Yeah. I mean, like I had the only birdie yesterday, and I had some holes where I looked like a professional golfer, and then I had some holes where I, you know, hit the ball out of bounds twice. You know what I mean? Like, so that's kind of where I'm at. I'm inconsistent.
Yeah, but you can play. You can hit the ball a long way.
Yes. I can drive I'm sniffing 300. You know, consistently, I'm a long, you know, 270, 280, 290. Yeah, I can hit the ball. I can get to a, you know.
Right.
I can get to a 150 yard par 4 and 2, you know, that type of stuff.
Right. I would try and arrange to have a buddy that you have at another club invite them to play. And as soon as you can afford it, I'd get them become a member of a good club.
We got to put that in Mary Beth's contract.
Yeah, so that's a whole longer conversation I'd like to have with you offline on that, if possible.
But, I mean, that's good. It's good business. You can...
Being able to afford it and convincing your wife, who went through bankruptcy with her family when she was in high school, is two different things.
Right.
That's going to be a hard sell.
I know. So your next best thing is a buddy who you really like, you know, any of the other guys, members of a nice club? No.
No.
In our team, no, we do not have a serious golf team.
Okay. You
probably I have friends that I could leverage, to get into a club, but,
I would invite your other FA and this guy, and the two of them come and play with you and your buddy.
Okay.
What about using Sean's club?
We could talk about that offline, Larry.
Okay.
This guy
we played with is a pretty good player. He was about a 9, you know. He's also that guy that, you know, he slightly mishits it and he's just off the green. He's cursing himself, telling him, you know, like, oh, you're the worst. You know, like, you know, he's yelling at himself the whole round, you know. There's definitely money there, like, because I know what he, you know, we were talking boats, and his wife's family's got money, and he currently actually owns three properties in the country club, you know, so there's definitely
Is he a nice guy? I mean, do you like him or not?
Yeah, he's a nice guy, but he's cut from a rougher cloth. You know, he's from Essex County, New Jersey, and he made his money in the grocery business. You know, so he's not like an English gentleman that owns a $60,000 shotgun and hunts pheasants. You know, like he's kind of a little bit rougher around the edges. You know,
sounds like the guys that you the other guys you hang around with.
Yeah. Right.
He might enjoy your other friends.
Yeah, interesting guy. So,
I wasn't dying
to have him as a client, saying this would be a dream fit. I was more asking about positioning, because as we're all trying to get into these circles a little bit more, we're going to be having brief encounters with people we know there's potential with. But it's like, right. It's like, you know, when you meet a pretty girl somewhere at a party and you don't ask her for her phone number, then you'll never know, kind of thing. You know, it's like, it's just how do you kind of get that additional time or that other shot together, kind of thing. The follow up.
So just for practice purposes, your buddy thinks you're wonderful. Invite him. He invited you. Invite him with this guy and see where it goes. What the hell?
Yeah,
so one of the things that I want you to think about is never leaving a meeting without closing for something. Okay? So the idea is that you're always giving, you're always helping, but you're always closing. And that's one of the problems that everyone has. It's not you guys. Everybody has this problem. They have a good meeting and they don't know where the hell to go with it because they didn't. Here's what you have to do. You got to anticipate that it's going to go well. And then what am I going to do? All right. So, you know, hopefully you had a chance to watch the U.S. Open last night. Fabulous tournament, right?
Yes.
The game, I played college tennis, and when you play, you understand who the guy is and what he's probably going to do. So
right.
You're 2, 3, or 4 shots ahead in the match when you're playing him. You're thinking ahead. So when you serve, before you serve, you know you're going to serve to his backhand. He's going to hit it cross court. You're going to hit it down the line. He's going to hit it cross court. You're going to hit it into his backhand. You're going to come to net, and you're going to put it away.
Mm-hmm.
Now, okay, so it's not always going to work like that, but it happens a lot. So the game is I'm going to play golf with these guys. He's going to say nice things about me, and I'm going to suggest that we play or we follow up, we do this, we do that. So what you do is anticipate that it's going to go well. Meet with your friend ahead of time. If it goes well, would you mind if we play another round with this guy?
Okay.
Now, if it doesn't go well, it's just like him hitting it to a different place on the court. You adjust. But if it goes exactly the way you think it's going to go, you know ahead of time exactly what you're going to do, and then you don't have this moment. Moment. Where
right.
He passes.
Yeah, I was caught off guard because we were supposed to be playing with two of the other advisors' clients, and one had to cancel last minute, and this guy was a late addition because the other guy had a funeral he had to attend. So I thought I was just playing with this guy's clients. I was completely kind of blindsided when I got there, but once again, you know,
adjusted. You did fine. You adjusted, but the point is that you anticipate as much as you can, and occasionally shots are going to go where you didn't think they were going to go. Okay, and you just try and do your best then. But
Hey guys, Mark signed that ACAT for the 400 already. He signed it. It's done.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's closing right there, Rob. Already got the paperwork done electronically within 3 hours of our call. Done.
What other? That's a good question. Good case. What else? What other ones?
I think we're all still falling well short on our commitment to get on a board. None of us have any real. Larry has the JCC, which is a good opportunity. Barry and I are kind of not anywhere. I think. Are you anywhere on that, Barry?
No, I have to do something for sure.
So my question, like the gentleman I played with yesterday, is a big donor to like the Israeli Defense Federation or something like that, this advisor. And a lot of his big clients, you know, like the guy, his big client we were playing with yesterday was, you know, he was wearing a huge Hebrew high symbol on his gold chain. And I know for a fact that, you know, I've seen pictures of that event. And at the last event this guy was at, you know, like, all these heavy hitters in town were there. All basically anyone that was a major business player that was Jewish was there, kind of thing. You know, I saw like all the managers from all the different wirehouses and all the big attorneys and all that everything. So I mean, that's clearly a group that has big money. You know, like you mentioned the the arts, of course, like the museum and the, you know, the orchestra, that kind of stuff, will have big money people. I'm trying to find something that I can truly get involved with.
Brian, we got an email the other day for Honor Flight. They're doing it, I don't remember the exact date, but I think it came from my uncle, the cousin that passed away in...
Right, we talked about that. I'm probably going to get nowhere with that. Tim has a much better shot than I do with that one.
Okay.
But with Honor Flight... That's our we're not at an 85% prospect level there. You know, like I'd say we're at like a 20% prospect level there. There's definitely some people with money, but on average, most people involved in that are not going to be in our lens. Where like a prospect rich environment, I think is what Rob refers to it as.
Yeah. Well, what about the kid's school?
I feel like I would be an imposter if I was getting on the board of a Lutheran school, considering I'm not Lutheran. And even then, there's some people with Thrivent Financial that are like really, really in tight at that school, like big time. Like all the staff's wearing Thrivent Financial shirts, and it's like it's one of those. I don't want to say it's BS, but it's an investment brokerage firm that gives like 10% of profits back to like the Christian Foundation or something like that. And, you know, I'm sure there's some individuals there with money, but that's not really, I would not fit in there.
Okay.
You know, like for you, maybe big game fishing offshore, like that's a prospect rich environment. Everyone who's doing bill fishing has big money, you know? I'm just trying to think, like, you know, like there's a guy up in Melbourne that is involved in like a Porsche club, you know, and like I'm sure everyone in the Porsche club is not poor. Like, I'm having a hard time figuring out where I want to take this, you know. And maybe I could do something with, like, there's an Everglades Foundation or something. You know, I might be able to get involved in that. I have some family ties to that, so that may help. I know there's. That girl from Ameriprise that does a ton of business is involved in that. But I don't know, Rob, are there any, like, do you think we get a hold of a charity registry and kind of scroll through it and see what hits?
Well, remember from my book how I tell you to do it. If you've done that, then we can start to do other things. But the first thing to do is take an inventory of your clients.
Yeah.
Have you done that?
I did it to my top five clients, and I came away honestly. My clients are not very charitably inclined, which I was kind of surprised, to tell you the truth. none of them were really, really super active. One of them had a board seat, and I ran that idea past you for, like, the youth caretakers, but it's kind of a small thing that really doesn't have a big presence. You know, and then I have some where it's like, you know, the Hadassah with the temple for the women, and, you know, that, clearly I'm not going to get involved with that. You know, but I really didn't have anyone that was super charitably inclined in the top of my book, which was, like I said, it was kind of surprising to me as well. Somebody did like a community farm, like a garden kind of thing, where they grow food and sell the produce to raise money for charity. But no, I did not have any success there.
Well, then I'd brainstorm with the guys and come up with things that, you know, if we had a magic wand and we could have, you know, a member of our team on each of these charities, which ones would be the best ones in the community where we have some affiliation. And that's, you know, that's what I do.
Okay.
I don't know the market as well as you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So your instincts are going to be pretty good, I would think. Here's the thing to say to yourself. If I had no fear, which boards would I be on?
Is there something on the Fire Chiefs Association or Florida Fire Chiefs? South Florida Fire Chiefs? A not-for-profit that your dad was involved with or worked with or heard about?
We get into... No. I mean, my dad goes to breakfast with a ton of former fire chiefs and stuff, but we get into a lot of gray area there because they're all considered city employees and city government, and then we have major, major problems. Like, I can't even take those guys to breakfast. I can't golf with them unless they pay for it. You know, like, the same thing with, like, Frank and the mayor's groups. You know, like, you get into big, big issues when you're doing stuff with city employees and government officials is what they would be considered.
Yeah.
So I prefer to stay the hell away from it, you know, and that and all the firefighters believe Wall Street's out to screw them, you know, like it's...
Yeah, you're always going to get some wackos.
Yeah. So, all right, we need to do better with that, clearly.
What about centers of influence? Clearly easier and faster.
We had a new meeting set up with this father-son attorney team, but we had to postpone for the hurricane.
Okay.
And we are trying to spend some more of our available time on that. We have been touching base with I think all of us have been reaching out more. Larry got a handful of referrals he got two referrals last week, but it was the whole, I gave them your number, wait for them to call referral, which is truly aggravating for us.
And I did follow up with both of the referrers, let them know I haven't received anything, haven't had any correspondence, and we actually emailed the one person to give them all the data.
Yeah. I'd almost rather have someone not tell me they gave me a referral and just get a call out of the blue as opposed to that. That drives me nuts.
Mm-hmm. You can always call them back and thank them very much for the introduction and ask them what's the best way for us to meet.
Yeah. Yeah, like does John Lisa know we're coming up in 2 weeks, Larry?
No.
So maybe we tell him that, and that maybe gives some urgency to talk to those other people.
Okay, but what John Lisa, the CPA, did say that I thought was very helpful from Rob's standpoint is that he knows he's not going to refer a somebody that has $500,000. That he knows that if they have $5 million or $10 million, that's the clients that we want, and that's who we can help. So, you know,
so Larry, he knows what we've handed him. Also,
yes,
and what? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like sometimes, like with this, or even with this thing, Barry, if nothing comes of the referral from Andy and with the real big guy, like sometimes they think by throwing our name out there that it's a referral, and if we don't even get a chance to present, I don't really think it's much of a referral. So,
no, that's right. I mean, what you can call and say is, look, I haven't heard from this guy. You know, is he serious? You know, does he seriously need our help?
Yeah.
And you're gonna find out whether he's pandering to you or it's a real introduction.
Hey, Rob, I got to jump off the call. I have to do some big options trades for this client before the market closes. I apologize. This was an unexpected situation.
Yeah.
I'll talk to you later. Thank you.
So, yeah. you know what I'm saying, guys, that, right? You got to kind of call on it and say, hey, look, before I let this go, I mean, I'm trying to be responsive here, and I don't want to take it off of my things to do before I take it off of there. Is this guy serious? Does he need our help? And he says, yeah, he really is. Then what's the best way for us to get introduced?
Okay.
Yeah.
And he'll say, well, I don't know, blah, 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 and say, well, when will you be talking to him? Well, I don't know. Well, how often do you talk? I talk to him, once a week or da, da, da. Would it be better to have a conference call or to meet in person? So you give him a choice. And then he says, well, a conference call would be great. Okay, why don't I set that up? Today is Monday. You can give him a call this week. Set it up for, say, next Monday at this time. Would that work? Yep. Okay. Here's the conference call number. I'll set it up. If I don't hear from you by what, Friday, I'll give you a call back and check and see if everything's okay. He goes, okay, I'll do it. That's great. Okay. If not, it's an in-person, let's have coffee. What's your relationship?
Okay. Well, he's up in New York, so yeah.
Yeah. So a conference call is clearly the best thing, right? But if he's, around the corner, then it's let's have coffee, Just make the introduction. People are busy, and you got to assume they want, keep in mind, until they say no, assume it's a yes. Okay? Assume they want to do it. Just like in my case where I didn't follow up on somebody that really wanted to talk to me, that is the most embarrassing thing in the world. So let's assume this guy really wants you and needs you, these two guys. So you need to follow up until they say no. And you're not being a pusher. You're simply trying to knock it off of your list of things to do.
Okay.
Yeah, and go back to the guy and say, is he serious? Do you think he really needs our help? Yeah. Or no, I was just kidding. I was lying to you, But, you gotta be that conscientious person. You're just trying to be the conscientious person. Okay? So this is...
Yeah.
This is like 80% of the time, this is what happens. And it's bullshit. as you said. So you got to call their bluff and know that, hey, you tell me somebody's going to be calling me, that starts a chain reaction of things that are going to happen.
Okay.
And you can always say, hey, remember, it's not their job to get in touch with us. That's our job.
That's a good line.
Yeah. It's not their fault. That's not what they get paid for. We get paid for reaching out. If they want to work with us, that's our job. We'll always be reaching out.
Good.
Now we were introduced via email. He had breakfast with him. The CPA had breakfast with him. Then we were introduced via email. We sent an email with our contact information to them and basically said something to the effect of, you know, we're waiting your call. You know, if you call, please tell, you know, our assistant that we're waiting your call.
Yeah, that's fine, but, you know, you can say, look, I was out for the week. You may have tried to get in touch with us, you know, so follow up that way.
We had the hurricane. You may have tried to
reach
us. The office was closed.
Right. So, you know, you can call. If you've gotten an email with their information, did you get an email with their information and everything?
Their email address only.
Okay. I'd go back to your guy and say, okay, this is where we are. I'm trying to be conscientious and following up. What do you think, you know, what's the best way for me to get in touch with him? Because it's not his job to follow up. You know, what's the best way for me, for us to meet?
Okay.
I'd go back to that. I like that so much better, you know. What's the best way for us to meet? How would you suggest that we meet? And he says, well, you know, if you want to fly to New York, I don't know. Let's do a conference call. That makes sense, right? Let me set up the conference call, and why don't you talk to him and see what's a good time? Let's, you know, today is Monday, so on, so forth. Let's do it for this time next Monday. Da da da. Here's the conference call number. I'll email it to you again just to remind you. And no, he's either going to go along with that or not. He's going to tell you it's a bad idea or it's a good idea.
Here's what we sent them. And once again, this was just through email. Mr. and Mrs. Hockman, my partners are excited for the opportunity to speak with you in the near future. We have been fortunate to collaborate with John on a few of our joint clients, and we always appreciate the opportunity to meet great people, period. Please let us know when you have some availability to speak, and we will get something on the calendar with you at the earliest convenience. We are a five-person team, and my partners I named Barry Manko, Ryan Ward. All of us have worked together for the past 15 years, and all of us carry advanced designation in different areas of our field. We also have two other associates on our team, Christine and Tim. Our team can be reached at, please tell whoever answers that we are expecting your call and to get one of our partners on the phone. Thank you for this opportunity. We look forward to making your acquaintance soon. Warmest regards. Just a quick email.
Yep. I think you did a good job. That's perfect.
Okay. Well, so far, nothing. Maybe I'll follow back up to them by saying, hey, we've been out, had a little bit of a hurricane, you know, didn't know if you tried to reach us. And once again, when I sent this to the clients, we also CC'd in the CPA referral.
Right.
Just to keep in the loop.
Yeah, you don't want to seem too anxious, but at the same time, you know, You don't know what his introduction was like. You don't know what the client needs. It's really, it's kind of vague. Did you talk to the client about the introduction?
No.
Or was it an email?
It was an email. It was an email from the CPA.
Yeah, I'd call the CPA and ask him about. That's your next one. You want a lot of information about the prospect. You don't have anything, right?
Correct.
Oh, God. That would be the first thing I'd do. Call the CPA and get everything about the client, about the prospect. And then the next thing you say to him, how's the best way for us to meet? Okay. So skip the email world. So call the CPA and ask him about the prospect. I mean, you want to interview him. You don't know if he's going to be a good prospect. You may not want him.
But, yeah. Yes. That is true as well.
Right. That's the way, that's the mentality. You want to give and help, but you certainly don't want to have a bad match. So tell me about Mr. Smith.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're going to try and close a guy that you don't even know anything about. And you're going to try and do it all by email? That's crazy.
No, we're trying to have a conversation with a guy that we know nothing about and see if we're a good fit. That's definitely it.
Right, but you've got an opportunity to get a whole lot of information from the CPA.
Okay.
Which would make that conversation much more relevant.
Yes.
Right? Have you Googled the guy and all that stuff?
Yes, we did.
And LinkedIn?
Yeah, there was not a lot out there.
Okay, then you want to go back to the CPA and say, hey, there's not a lot out there on this guy. Give me some, you know, I love you. Give me some information. What's he
right.
like?
Yeah, but that's where the fact that he does have $8 to $12 million came up. So he's somebody that falls in our lens.
Right. He'd be great. But you know, this is your job. This is not the CPA's job. The CPA doesn't know how to do this. You know how to do this. First thing you gotta know is get a lot of information about this guy. Is he married? How many kids? Situation, tell me about him, what kind of person he is, you know, what school he went to, where, you know, where is he from, blah, blah, does he originate there, blah, blah. Just get at everything.
Okay.
Just like you would anywhere. Whenever you get an introduction, you want to get as much information as possible. You can get more information from the person referring you than you can from the person you're talking to.
Yeah.
Part of the genius of introductions is that you can know the guy really well before you ever talk to him. And also you're going to find out, you know, from the CPA, what did you tell him about us? What does he know about us? What did he like about us? What did he say? What does he want? You don't know. Okay, so this is education for the CPA too.
Right.
So the CPA is going to know this is the process that we go through. If I introduce it to this team, these guys are very thorough. They're not going to just get an introduction and then walk away and never hear from them. Follow up. And you can say, look, we take an introduction from you very seriously. We want to know. We want to really know this client. We're going to attend to this for the next 30 years.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, this is a good case, too. Give me another one.
Probably the other one, Larry, is to talk about the whale that we have that I just called the lawyer back today to find out what was going on with that one. It's the $100-plus million one. The lawyer that gave us the referral, his father was dying, so he couldn't do anything for a while, so we had to leave it be. So I reached out to the partner today to ask him, and he said he was going to reach out and talk to the lawyer himself.
The only problem there is we got to have everything ready for the next step.
Well, the next step right now would be getting in front of this guy and seeing if Joe is going to do his part and get us in front of him. I'm sure that, you know, that guy is unresponsive though, Larry, the guy from that trust department. I've texted him a half a dozen times. He doesn't respond. So probably have to find somebody else. It's just
That's it. Go around. We can go to somebody else.
It's a shame because he met with us with Joe and it looks bad. It's kind of annoying.
If the trust guy doesn't want a $100 million account, then we're going somewhere else. So it doesn't matter.
This is your trust guy.
Say it again.
This is your trust guy?
Yeah, no, he's not. He's a Philly. So our trust guy, the Morgan Stanley trust guy, reached out to this guy. So I've got to reach out to the Morgan Stanley guy and say, hey, this guy's unresponsive.
What was his name?
Mike Ingram, I think, Larry, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to have people that want to work with you.
Yeah.
All right, guys. I've got to run, but good cases. Keep it up. Always be closing. Don't let them
hang. Yeah, we got to get. Yeah. All right, Barry, hold on. Thanks. Thanks, Rob. We got to get Bill Barnett back involved here.
Yeah, I was going to hang up. Do you want to call Mike Ingram with me? Or do we not even bother with this guy? Last time I texted him, I have two text messages to him. August 14th, I will get you a proposal shortly. Thanks, Mike. It's not loading here, but there's more of them.
He went to the meeting. We can give him one more shot. I don't care. But either he's going to
be involved, you know, either you try calling him and then I'll call you back.
Why don't you call me back and then I'll conference him in it. I have his card right here.
I got his number here, sir.
Okay.
Hang on.
You need to stay out of the wind.
Hold on, sorry.
Press 1 for more options.
Hey, Mike, this is Barry Manko and Larry Wachtel. If you can give us a call back, my cell phone is 561-289-6354. We are still working on that big trust. I've left you a couple of messages, and I'm not getting any calls back. I would appreciate a phone call back. If this is not something that fits in your parameters, please just let us know, and we can reach out to somebody else. Appreciate a phone call back. Thanks.
Okay. You there?